Welcome to OCG Recovery Radio, where we discuss substance abuse treatment and recovery. You can listen live at blogtalkradio.com/OCG Radio. Please note that the views and opinions of our hosts and guests are not necessarily the views of OCG, nor is it meant to replace professional advice or the advice of your physician. And now, here's our show, Roach on Recovery, with your host, Orville Roach.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. It's been a good while, almost 3 months, our longest drought of doing a show. And we're going to talk about where we've been and what we've been doing and why we have not been on the air. Let me first bring in our producer. Mr. Producer, are you there? Mr. Producer? Well, he's there somewhere in the ethers, because I was just talking to him on the sidebar before we switched over to live. So I am not sure where he is. But I will communicate with him offline to make sure that is him and not me, and I am just talking to space. I'll wait for him to. Now he says he can hear me loud and clear, but I can't hear him. So, Mr. Producer, check your. Make sure you're not on mute. You are on live. Have you clicked on live? But I can't hear you. So what I'm going to do, so folks, he can hear me loud and clear, he said, but I can't hear him. So I'm going to put him on hold and then click him back over.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, now we can hear you, sir.
Look at that. So I heard when you unclicked me there, I heard the little operator say muted and unmuted. So
okay, good.
We're back in the building after quite the hiatus. I was holding my breath. Come on now, after 3 months and within a minute, we're already back to the technical difficulties. But we're good. We're in the building. Looking forward to the go ahead.
No, I was going to say, actually, we're not in the building because both of us are at unusual locations, not where we normally are. And so we're working with foreign headsets, foreign computers, foreign devices, and just going on it on a wing and a prayer that this is going to go, technological error-free. For the hour or so that we're going to be talking.
You're
mobile right now. You're just out and about and taking care of certain business, which we're going to talk about what you're doing. And I'm in another location at OCG because my office is not going to be available and hasn't been available for going on 2 months. And probably won't be available for another 2 weeks. But I've commandeered another office and some headphones and whatnot. and computer and said, look, we got to do a show for Thanksgiving. We've never missed
That's
a Thanksgiving
right.
show, and we shouldn't start. So say welcome to everybody. We haven't given our number in a long time, 646-564-9909 is the number. So, Mr. Producer, let's start with this. Where have we been and what have we been doing? And I answered it in our show description. It's been everything and anything and everything all about CARF.
That's right. That's right.
And after our last show in August, unbeknownst to our listeners, that started the home stretch for us. I would say probably the last 30 to 40 days of preparation for our CARF survey. And for those of you out there who don't know what CARF is, CARF stands for the Commission on Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities. And it's an independent organization that accredits programs like ours, drug treatment programs, and other types of rehabilitation facilities. They are similar to JACO, which does hospitals and things of that nature. So we've been accredited by them before, dating back to as far as 2003. And our last accreditation expired in March of 2017, and we purposely let it expire because we were then just at the beginning stages of being under the new organized delivery system for substance abuse treatment and services in California. And there was no, and you know, because we restructured our staffing teams and all of that to prepare for the organized delivery system and how treatment was going to be provided moving forward. This started in February 1st, 2017. We wanted to spend all of our energy on, you know, becoming proficient in that and getting our staff up to speed in that and not simultaneously try to undertake the process of accreditation. And so we did that. We took a couple of years off, but we didn't just take time off and weren't doing anything. We actually, we acted within internally as if we were just starting anew with a new accreditation, even though we have experience with the process. But a number of our staff haven't had that experience. And so we decided to embarked on what turned out to be a 22-month process of preparing ourselves for the CARF survey. And the survey is when you have to spend at least 6 months. Well, let me back up. You spend as long as it takes to get to the point where you have deemed yourself that you are compliant with all of the criteria, all of the standards. And then once you have deemed yourself compliant with all the standards, then you have to spend 6 months living it out. Okay?
Yep.
And there are various tools and mechanisms that you have to utilize as your documented proof that you are and have been living it out for a minimum of 6 months. And then prior to the close of that 6 months, when you have an idea of when you're going to meet that 6 month, you know, when it's going to occur, you can apply, you can complete your application to schedule your survey. And your survey is when a couple of surveyors come out to your sites and conduct basically, think of it as an audit. But they are auditing every facet of your organization, from your board all the way down to your mop buckets, so and everything in between, to see if you are in compliance with your standards. And they spend 2 days here, you know, looking over everything and, you know, peeling back the curtains, lifting up the sheets, putting the gloves on into the corners, checking for dust and whatnot. So they really, you know, put you through a process. The whole nine. And we had our survey, I want to say October 3rd and 4th. And
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that Thursday and Friday over those 2 days. And we were, well, a couple of things happened. That in the exit conference, the surveyors made us aware that they had absolutely no recommendations, which was extremely rare.
Unheard of.
And so normally they would take time to tell you about your strengths and about your weaknesses that they've, you know, uncovered through their 2 days of auditing you, and then what their recommendations are in the various categories that they reviewed. You know, whether it be your board, finances, personnel, program, health and safety, maintenance, you name it. And they go through their standards and make sure you're meeting the standards in all those areas. And if you're not, you know, they'll have a recommendation on what you need to do or should be doing so that you can comply with the standards. So usually, historically for us, we usually end up with, I want to say, anywhere between 7 and 12 recommendations, which is pretty good.
Right.
I mean, if you get up there in the 20s and 30s and whatnot, then, you know, you're not going to get accredited. But, you know, under 15 spread out over, you know, maybe six categories, that's pretty good. And we had zero. So they were very praiseworthy towards us. However, the surveyors have nothing to do with whether or not you get accredited. They just conduct the survey, submit a report, and then that goes to a different body that reviews the report, reviews their survey, and then decides whether or not we have met the standards. And, of course, based on everything they said and everything we felt, we believed that we were going to achieve the highest accreditation level, which is a 3-year accreditation. And we, in fact, did do that. We got the letter 2 weeks ago, congratulating us and taking time to acknowledge the rarity of achieving that without getting any recommendations. So we are very pleased with ourselves because we were, you know, the staff, everyone worked hard, and that's the outcome from that hard work. So
yeah, that's the payoff.
Yeah, that's the payoff. So that's what we've been doing.
So the meeting is pretty cool too. When you're sitting in front of the surveyors, especially when they're going down and talking about zero recommendations, right? That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, they go through everything, every category, and, you know, explain what the category is, what they were looking for, and then they say, and we had zero recommendations. And so after doing that, going through the various categories, you know, that was amazing. So that's what we were spending our time doing, preparing for that during the home stretch. All our energy and focus was on that, along with, of course, providing services. But it was important to us to accomplish that because it's something you can hang your hat on, that an independent body has come into your organization and looked at your organization from head to toe, all facets, didn't leave any area untouched, and say, hey, you know what, based on our standards, which are industry-accepted standards at a high level, that you guys are doing a very good job of meeting them. So that's what we were doing. And we got a bonus, Mr. Producer. We got a bonus.
Oh, yeah, we did. And I'll tell you what, and if it weren't for the result of that bonus, and I'll let you tell it, I might have been very upset with the host here for approving the moving forward with a certain bonus had that not been approved based on the lack of being able to prepare for such a thing.
Right. So what Mr. Producer is referring to is that We have had all of our programs accredited, the residential program, the outpatient programs, plural, and the recovery residence. We did not request the recovery residence to be accredited, so we didn't prepare for it to be accredited because we actually did not see anything in their manuals that applied to the recovery residence. However, when they arrived on site and started getting into the survey, and we took them on a tour of our recovery residence and explained to them what it was and how it operates and all that stuff, and they posed the question, you know, why haven't you, and would you be interested in adding that to the current survey to see if you would meet the standards for what they term, in their language, community housing. And so what the agreement we made was that if after review they determine that, let's say, there are too many deficiencies and it will bring down the other programs, then we'll skip it. We'll just do it the next round. But if it appears that we are more than meeting the standards, we'll include it. Well, not only did we meet the standards, but they had zero recommendations. So
yeah,
when I told Mr. Producer that, hey, we're going for the recovery residence also because they said, you know, they have something that matches it. You know, the look on his face was priceless because obviously he didn't get an opportunity to, you know, marshal his troops to make sure that they were in the best possible light, the best possible position to have the best possible outcome. But what it does speak to is that, you know, just the everyday standard, you know, the everyday OCG standard was enough to meet that standard. And so we didn't have to, you know, bring out any extra white gloves, any extra wipes and whatnot to clean and see if the files were in order and all of that stuff. No, everything was in order to the point, like I said, that they had no recommendations.
Yeah, it was a similar experience to because we are also registered with KDAC as a certified. They have a recovery residence now, although they still don't differentiate the difference between a recovery residence and an SLE. But that's
a story
for another time.
Yeah.
No, of course there is a difference, and we've explained that to them, and even explained that to them that the state even recognizes the difference. They seem to be behind the eight ball on that. But
right.
That is another story for another time. Point of it is, when the accreditor came through to do a walkthrough our recovery residence to get this SLE certification, if you will, I think he stopped literally halfway through and said, there's no point in continuing. You're clearly going to meet the standard because, for folks of you out there who've been listening to us long enough, know the difference between the two. And an SLE is essentially, they're just looking that you're not stuffing seven people into a room and having people live amongst rats, because there's no program, so to speak. This is just
right.
A living quarters for people who are, want to be clean and sober. And because we were once an adolescent program at that site, where the standards were far more rigid than anything you'd see in the adult world, and that's how we were set up to run and continue to run, essentially on the same principles and with some of the same policies and procedures. It was like he had never been to any review for a certification like ours and stopped me halfway through and said, what's the address? We'll mail it wherever you need it mailed to.
Mm-hmm.
So something, a similar type experience.
Right. So, you know, it all ended well in the end. And now we're just waiting for our, certificates so that we can proudly post them in all the facilities. And I would like to say, yeah, I would like to say that we are the first and the only, so far, the first and the only recovery resident in the state of California that's accredited.
Love that.
And that's even better.
That's high praise.
Yeah, and that's even better, in my opinion, than being recognized by the national body, you know, that National Association of Recovery Residences, NAR, N-A-A-R, I think, or
right.
N-A-R-R.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a good feather in our cap, and it was well-earned and well-deserved. So, but in a nutshell, that's what we've been doing. So you tie that. You add that there, what we've been focusing on internally, the fact that, at least for me, my office has been unavailable, which is where I host the show out of, and then Mr. Producer has his studio out of his office, where he's not at today, which leads us into another topic regarding Mr. Producer, who is embarking on and at the crucial tail, not crucial in a negative sense, but you know, in the expectant sense, the crucial tail end of another life change. So he's got two life changes going on right now as we speak. And I'll let Mr. Producer talk about them because they're huge. Go ahead, Mr. Producer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, for the first life change, and I believe we probably talked about it, or I imagine maybe we talked about it in the August show, but, indeed my wife and I are expecting our first child. And so that is, I'd argue that's the biggest, crucial, life change. Probably not even not even out of the two, I'd say, but that might be the biggest one in life that you might face, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second would be that my wife and I have just purchased our first property in the Bay Area. We are officially, we'll call it closet owners. because as anybody who lives, and I know we have some East Coast listeners out there, but anybody who lives in the Bay Area, and more particularly on the peninsula or in the city, you could probably say San Jose to San Francisco and then the peninsula that connects the two. You are at a white hot housing market that is inflated through the roof, almost artificially speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you don't get very much for your dollar in terms of space or land. So we have what I like to call one great big walk-in closet, but it's ours and we own it. So we're proud
mm-hmm.
of it.
Yep.
And so, so the crucial bit being the our little one is expected to join the family in late December. And now we're in the midst of moving into said walk-in closet. So hopefully to get everything settled in before we have the newest member of the family join us. And so we're running around like crazy to try and make that happen.
And if the gods of the universe will either smile upon you or frown upon you, depending on when this child is born, because either you're going to get a 2-for-1 or you're going to get a 1+1 in terms of when his birthday is. Because if
That's
he
right.
comes on Christmas, then you can get over on him on the 2-for-1.
That's right. Save a buck.
Yeah, until he figures it out. But if you get, let's say, born on December 22nd, yeah,
that's
I don't
it.
Think you're going to be able to get
off.
Over. or any time, or any time after the 25th, Christmas Day. So let's say, you know, you got Christmas Day and he's born on the 27th, then you got New Year's Day. Yeah, he's gonna be getting you guys for a while on that three day run to close out the year.
Yeah, exactly, right. That's a week's worth of celebration.
So
oh boy.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. And then we'll lead you into we've got some news about your recent excursions that limited to or I should say including but not limited to some in-home dental malpractice as well as some traveling nightmares and we will let you give the explanation. But before any of that, we'll ask. In regards to the dental malpractice, how are we healing up, sir?
So far, so good. No setbacks. But in reference to what Mr. Producer was talking about, I did take a short excursion back to the Eastern Seaboard to visit my mother during her birthday week. I wanted to, you know, just swoop in under the cover of darkness, and spend some quality time with her as she has celebrated her 91st birthday, and to have it not be, so her birthday was the Wednesday, November 13th, and I flew out on that Wednesday night, and I made the checks in advance before I planned this trip that it was just going to be a quiet celebration, a dinner on Saturday or something, and that's about it, just with whoever, local family members, and that's it. That's all I, because that's if it's going to be anything big, whatever, I'm not coming, because then, you know, you plan to go visit someone, and then you have this other celebration, and it kind of gets lost in the shuffle, and you don't get to spend the time that you want to spend. And so that wasn't the case. And I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. Got to spend quality time every single day with my mother. I also got the customary thorough thrashing in Boggle, losing 5 straight games. And, of course, the thorough thrashing in Scrabble, losing 147 to 87. So,
that's a landslide right there.
Yeah, and you know, I talked a little bit of smack before the game, saying, you know, I'm out to get you. I don't want to hear anything about age, you know, or any excuses. And then I got thoroughly smacked down.
That'll happen.
So she's still obviously as sharp as a tack, and coming up with words I didn't even know existed. And especially during the Scrabble game, we had a Scrabble dictionary, dictionary.com, a Webster's dictionary. Because I'm telling you, man, they'd be coming up with some words, you know, some Jamaican words, some British words,
yeah,
and whatnot.
Did we have to throw the challenge flag a couple of times?
Oh, yeah. We threw the challenge flag a couple of times. And, of course, there were none overturned. All were upheld by the Scrabble dictionary. It was four people played. It was me, my oldest sister, and then her daughter, my niece, and I came in last. So,
oh man,
you know,
the family's not taking it easy on you.
No guest services, you know. So. So my excursion outbound, my visit, all of that was fantastic, just as I wanted it, just as I planned. And I was leaving with a smile on my face saying, finally, I've had a trip back east to visit my mother that, you know, went as planned. And the only thing left was to come home, you know, fly out of Richmond International Airport back to Newark in New Jersey, and then from Newark home to San Francisco. Well, as I've said over the years on this show, you know, flying out of Richmond is a crapshoot. The last two times I've missed my connecting flights into Chicago because of weather or wind or whatever. And I was sitting in the Richmond airport an hour ahead of schedule, talking to my sister and saying, well, you know, no delays this time. Everything's looking fine. Beautiful weather. Just an hour flight to Newark. And why I was so, you know, kind of excited is because I was preparing to fly on the brand spanking new 787-10 Dreamliner that United just put into service from Newark to San Francisco. And I got a seat on that flight, window seat. I never sit by the window. Second to last row, so I can get the total wing view, engine view on takeoff, the whole nine yards.
Yep.
And I built in a 3.5 hour window so that if anything happens, there's any weather or wind or whatever, that, look, I got enough time to make my connecting flight. And would you believe I still didn't make the flight? Still didn't make the flight. Why? Because our plane from Richmond to Newark had mechanical difficulties, which it took them 5 hours to determine that they could not fix. And so I missed my flight. I sat in the airport for 5 hours because they told us they could fix it. It would take an hour. This, for our listeners, the steering wheel broke on the plane. They couldn't steer it. And they didn't find that out until we got to the runway to take off. And then the pilot comes on and says, my tiller, they call it a tiller, T-I-L-L-E-R, which is the handle that they use to steer. So they, that the wheel that you see, that yoke, it's called a yoke, is not what they use to actually steer the plane on the ground. They have a little hand, a little handlebar at the side, and that's what they use to steer the front wheels on when they're on the ground.
Sure.
And that thing broke. And so we had to be towed back to the gate. And they said, look, we think it'll just take an hour. It might just be some dirt on the switch or whatever. But it ended up, we waited there for 5 hours before they said, we're not going to be able to fix it.
5 hours later, huh?
Yeah. So I was kind of bummed out, missing the Dreamliner. But they were able to route me through Denver. And I was going to get a 777. You know, I'm always looking for the wide bodies, Mr. Producer, from Denver to San Francisco. Well, unfortunately,
yep.
on the Richmond to Denver flight, my seatmate, my next door neighbor, spilled coffee on me. So, you know, you got all this stuff going on. You know, sitting around for 5 hours, not missing your flight, getting routed through Denver. By the way, I would not recommend you and your wife go through Denver ever unless you can't avoid it. Because it's similar to going into Vegas because of the mountains, the turbulence. That's just some free tip.
Oh, yeah,
free
no, we can't do that. We can't
free
do
tip.
That.
I mean, nothing bad, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah, man, it was a 20-hour horrifying experience on the travel home.
So we went from a 5 to 5.5 hour bucket list experience to a 20-hour would love to have forgotten about it experience.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Oh, and of course, the kicker is they lost my bags. My bags never left Richmond. So when I got to San Francisco, I got a text saying your bags are delayed. And come to find out, they never put them on the took them off the broken plane and put them on the Denver flight.
The only logical question would be, what exactly did you do in your past life, sir?
Nothing, to my knowledge. It's really the question. No, the question should be is, what the hell is happening in Richmond that they can't get their business straight with their flights at that airport? The planes are breaking. They're afraid to fly when it's too windy. If it's a little bit of rain, you know, I mean, it's crazy. You would think 3.5 hours is enough, you know, leeway. Right? But it wasn't.
Yeah, you would imagine. That's why you did it.
So that's that, which brings us to the main reason why we're on the air today, which is this is Thanksgiving week. And it is, at least in our program, OCG, Our Common Ground, and I'll even extend it back into Daytop, okay, that we are entering a time of the year commencing with Thanksgiving week and obviously ending with the New Year celebration, that for me as a resident 30 plus years ago up in Swan Lake, New York, as a staff person for 30 years, has always been an enjoyable time of the year for me in the treatment environment. So that's why I said, Mr. Producer, we have to do a show this week because it is Thanksgiving week. It kicks off, you know, the holiday season, not only in American society, but in our program. And when we talk about the holiday season within our program, it's more a season of obviously this week of giving thanks, expressing gratitude and all of that, but a season of reflection. And one of the things I like to do, which I'm hoping I'll have the time to do tomorrow at the residential facility, is to do a interactive seminar and to have the clients talk about, you know, where were you last year this time? What were you doing? And in comparison to where you now sit here in a program, making the necessary steps and effort to get your life back in order. And right. we want the clients to be able to see, feel, and experience the difference between the two. So whether they were in jail, whether they were on the streets, or whether they were, you know, in neither situation, but just being a functional addict, that they can reflect back and speak to, you know, what that experience was like for them in comparison to how they currently feel now based on where they're at in their life experience.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Producer, I'll talk about me second, but I'm going to ask you first, you know, what was your experience like? Did you experience Thanksgiving in the program? Well, obviously as a staff person, did you experience it as a client?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to experience the full season, if you will. My intake date was November 2nd.
Okay.
So yeah, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, we got to experience the full gamut. Now I actually had a great experience. The staff definitely made it feel warm and inviting. I had family that celebrated and would do something very festive around the holidays. But I know that there were some of my peers who didn't have that same experience outside, you know, they might have been a ward of the court and were in different foster homes and never really had that experience. And so it made me feel good, and it allowed me to kind of get outside myself a little bit and not really think about where I would have been instead, but instead being present for some of my peer who were there and actually getting to enjoy something where it felt like it, you know, was celebrated and it was important, and being able to kind of give back to them a little bit so they could have that kind of like a feeling around the seasons that they never really had. And so it was a great time. Now, it was very triggering, obviously, to a lot of people that time of year can be. But my experience was great.
And it's interesting the point you made, because those are the two dynamics that we try to almost cover. One is the person who has a warm memory of their Thanksgiving experience, holiday experience. And so we try and make sure that we can mimic that. And then you have those who may not have a very warm memory of their recent or if at all, Thanksgiving and holiday experience. So we want to start the process of them having great memories for the holiday. So we're charged with two tasks, you know, measuring up to those who've had, you know, warm and wonderful memories, and creating warm and wonderful memories for those who haven't had them to that point.
Correct.
And I think somehow we're able to accomplish both of those. Because I know personally for me, as was for you, my experience as a client in the holiday season in Daytop was fantastic. And I come from a family like yours that was very festive around the holiday times and put great energy and what have you into this time of the year, and had nothing but warm memories. So it was, well, you know, what's, you know, my attitude was a little bit like, well, what's this going to be like? You know, is it going to be, you know, you know what I mean? It's like, well, how could 250 people, you know, locked, you know, all the way up here, you know, buried in the Catskill Mountains, you know, what kind of Thanksgiving is this going to be? And it turned out to be fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So having that experience, just like yourself having that experience, we're now charged with, obviously, and we have been for years, making sure that those who are, you know, going through their treatment experience now have that same experience. And I haven't heard in my time, I don't know about you, I have not heard from anyone who has said, hey, I didn't enjoy the Thanksgiving when I was in Daytop. I didn't enjoy it when I was in OCG. Because one of the things I always make sure, I only have a couple of caveats. One, we never run out of food. To me, that's the worst on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Not having enough food. Okay. So I said, we always want to have enough food to the point that I don't care if they're eating it for the next 2 days. Okay. So don't run out of food and make sure that, we don't miss the opportunity to talk about. So like, I'm going to try and be there on Wednesday, but I'm not there. You're not there on the day, but we always encourage our staff who are working that day to make sure that when they get the family together, to, it's a nice opportunity to talk about, you know, being thankful.
Right. Absolutely.
It's very interesting when in the past, when I've done that seminar, you know, people's perspective based on where they were and where they're at now. What's even more interesting, but very real, is the odd person or two or three that, like as you said, that this time of the year, starting with Thanksgiving, is not a happy time. You know, it's not happy memories for them. And just because, you know, we're making an effort for it to be happy and plentiful and all that good stuff, that doesn't mean that that's what their experience is. For some, it's a depressing time because
right,
of the memories
right.
that they have associated and connected with this time of the year. So that's a challenge. And with that, that's where we hope that the peers, I tell you, nothing beats the effect of the peers. We hope that the peers are aware of that and that they take action on that to, for lack of a better description, crowd out the ability for the negative feelings to take hold.
Right.
So, yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And so, and I think many of us who are able to relate to, you know, like our treatment experience, right? And no matter what side of the spectrum you were on in terms of holidays prior to that, feeling that, you know, hey, it was made to feel special and be special, and then being able to translate that into the current day community, and understanding that there are people on both sides of that coin. So there's really a concerted effort to make sure no matter what side you are on, you're going to be able to give back and feel a certain way about that time, being sensitive to whatever anybody might feel.
The other thing, Mr. Producer, is I don't think we can touch this subject without touching the obvious thing also that we've touched on a number of times within the last couple of years or 18 months, which is the antithesis of being thankful and being grateful. And that is when you are trying to create an environment of being thankful that's being attacked by entitlement and other senses of, you know, of entitlement. word to use.
Right.
That is
the word to use in that scenario.
Right. So, I mean, in the show we did a show on this, and one of the main points we tried to hammer home was that, you know, gratitude, being thankful, and entitlement really can't coexist. And so, you know, one of them gets crowded out. And what we always try and tell our clients, especially, that obviously this is more prevalent in recent years. We won't go into all of that at this moment, but we did a whole show on it. Check the archives. Gratitude and entitlement. They can't coexist. Subtitle. But, you know, we are in times now where, you know, we are constantly fighting against entitlement. That noise in the background you hear is giving away where Mr. Producer actually is.
Yes. And we apologize to the listeners for it, but I'm glad we spoke about it at the beginning of the show.
He is.
We're trying to expand the walk-in closet to a double closet.
He is preparing the humble abode for their soon-to-be occupation of it.
Full-time mommy and daddy.
And an expanded occupation with the little one coming soon thereafter. So you'll hear some banging, some whatnot going on in the background, because work doesn't stop even just because you're doing a podcast. They gotta do what they gotta do. Otherwise, you and your wife will be sleeping on the veranda while they're continuing to do work on the interior.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
While 747s go overhead, you guys will be lying down on the veranda floor looking up at the underbelly of the fuselage as it goes, flies above you.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. But it just goes to show, hey, it had been too long since we had a show, so there would be no excuse to back out of this one. Nothing too big or small that was going to stop this show from happening.
Yep. So to wrap up, historically, now in the recovery residents, because I'm presuming that the recovery residents in the residential program are kind of similar in terms of what they do on a holiday like this. But what do you see, Mr. Producer, i.e., site supervisor, as the structure for that day, to give our listeners an insight onto what happens on a holiday like Thanksgiving in that environment?
So first and foremost, we implement what has always been a very popular custom in the TC, and that's the Sunday structure. And the Sunday structure always involves a late wake up. So it's the one day a week where folks can sleep in, And so we always project that one to both the Christmas Day structure and the Thanksgiving structure. Something that might be unique to me, but it is something that happened when I was in treatment and I always liked it, and it's a great way to maybe even start a tradition to some of the folks on the side of the coin that we had referenced earlier that may not have come from, you know, a family that had a lot of traditions or a lot of customs or weren't super festive in a certain light. And that's Thanksgiving Day football. So everybody knows who has listened to our show how very important we take our sports and our football season, you and I particularly. But as everybody knows, the Thanksgiving Day football is very popular in many households across the U.S. because football is very popular across the U.S., and you have a triple header. And so we definitely make sure we've got the football games going from morning to night with those late wake-ups and a very basic breakfast, because we want to make sure that everyone's got a great appetite working for the Thanksgiving meal that is going to be prepared and served, that, you know, our gracious cook who's been there for years will either get things started the day before and leave stuff for the kitchen to prep, or even come in on the day of to ensure that the meal, like you said, that A, we don't run out of food, and B, that the meal is absolutely delicious. And so when you combine a nice little sleep in with some delicious food and football all day, it's a day where the clients can absolutely sit back and do their best to enjoy their time with where they are at. And then additionally, we do something that's called known as rolling over the books, kind of getting heavy TC there on folks. But generally speaking, the books are a tool with which we hold the peers of the facility, the family members of the facility, accountable for their behavior. And on holidays, we don't run the books in the evening. So there is not free rein to not hold anybody accountable and break all the rules, because we don't have any problem booking you and rolling it over till the next day. So you will still be held accountable, but we're not doing anything like that in the structure. So we're really relaxing all day.
It's almost like a holiday exemption, unless it's something really serious.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And what time is dinner normally?
So Thanksgiving dinner, we try to have, and this is very, I guess similar to Christmas, although Christmas we will do something more traditional and maybe a little later. But the Thanksgiving dinner we're usually serving around 3:30 or 4.
And can, you know, to the best of your knowledge that you're aware, can you let listeners know in on what the menu might be for that day?
Yeah, so we, in that sense, we keep it what you might define as traditional American. So we're roasting off a turkey. There might also be a ham, or this year there might even be a little prime rib on the menu. And then your traditional potato dish, some sort of green bean casserole. Our facility cook, Roz, who we all love very dearly, she also is quite the baker. So there will certainly be pumpkin pies and perhaps some pecan pies, some sparkling cider. And another cool thing about the early dinner, what we like to do is because it's early, we can kind of keep the food line warm. And so, you know, like many of us will have the dinner and then the leftovers. So there might be two dinners in some households or many households.
Right. Right.
Where you've got the line warm. So if people want to go back at 6 or 7 during the night football game and grab some more, we are all good with that as well.
Right. Very good. Any special desserts planned, or just, as you said, just the traditional?
Yeah, the traditional, I think there will be both pumpkin pie and pecan pie, but we're keeping it pretty classic in that regard.
Okay. Good stuff. Just wanted to give our listeners a little insight into what happens on Thanksgiving Day in the recovery residence, and I'm sure it's probably the same at the residential facility. And yes, the early dinner is a smart move. It's a British move. The early dinner, because it obviously allows time for food to digest and whatnot. Now I will say this: historically speaking, growing up on the East Coast, being on Eastern Standard Time, we loved it because you can go outside and have a couple of football games, before the games come on TV.
The actual Turkey Day football, a little rough touch, if you will.
Exactly. And so you've worked up an appetite, did some rugged exercise, and then now you're able to come in and watch the football games on TV, eat, and then now, with the late games, because they got three games on, but now you get an evening game. And so, you can be nibbling and, watching your late game. Now, I will say for me personally, because ultimately I don't eat a lot, but I have no idea what the plans are. All I know is I'll be getting a list sometime this evening and need to make it happen between now and Wednesday night.
Yeah, right.
Now, the disadvantage of being on the West Coast is that there's really – I mean, you'd have to – because the football games come on at, 10 o'clock, right? The first game is the 10 o'clock game.
Exactly.
Or maybe you bump it back to 11 o'clock, who knows. So the games start early. So, there's really no time to get out there and have a two-hand touch football game, a turkey bowl game,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
But I would like to tell you that one of the things we haven't done recently, the last 3 years, let's say, remember how we used to
game, huh?
The intra-facility football games. Actually, this kind of like started off the season where we would have two-hand touch games between Thanksgiving and New Year's. We try and have like three games at minimum, maybe four games, and see who ends up on top. But we haven't done that in a few years. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I can get a full body massage and get the joints massaged a little bit and get my throwing arm
loosened
up. Get the hamstring stretched out. That's the number one injury, by the way, for us, for us giants of our dreams who get out there thinking we're still in our 20s.
Yeah,
pulling
exactly.
And stretching a hamstring. So,
oh man,
but
that is
all that's
really
good.
True.
Well, that's all we got, Mr. Producer. I'll let you get back to making sure the nails are nailed and the studs are in, and you're on schedule for the preparation of your humble abode being presented to you to your liking before before the main person in the picture, and I'm not talking about the child coming, but you know who I'm talking about, steps one foot in there to pronounce it a home. Can't happen
That's
without
right.
that. So that'll be a good thing. So that's all I got.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad we were able to do it. It had been very long, although the reasons were quite valid. But like you had said, we had never missed a holiday show, and so it was great to be able to do that. And we hope, obviously, that everybody has a great holiday. So good stuff. It's good stuff. I'm glad we were able to get back on.
And I know we got some things scheduled between now and Christmas. Hopefully, maybe we can squeeze in a pre-Christmas show. Looking at my calendar here to see when December Christmas is on a Wednesday this year. Christmas Eve is on a Tuesday. So we got about 3 weeks to determine whether or not we can squeeze one in there on one of those Tuesdays. And if we can, we will. So,
absolutely.
Mr. Producer, why don't you give our traditional closeout, and we'll do what we got to do.
Will do, absolutely. All right. Well, again, we thank everybody, as we always do, for the ongoing support. That is always what keeps us going. And we hope to be on a little more regularly here, maybe here in the new year after our potential show in December. So all the listeners will have more new shows to look forward to. And then, of course, around the holiday season, we wish everybody good holidays, a happy holidays, and a safe holidays. And we will catch you all on the other side.
That's our show for this evening. Thank you for listening. Be sure to listen to our next broadcast Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/OCG Radio. Like us, friend us, and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/OCGWorkCA and on Twitter at OCGWorkCA. You can listen to podcasts of all our shows on iTunes under Roach on Recovery or on our Blog Talk Radio homepage. This has been a presentation of OCG Recovery Radio. Going away, your whole song. But one more day.